Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, boy. Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour flight deck Foxtrot. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Denver to Dover, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you being around. And today is a very special day, the annual Halloween Spooktacular. Today, the Gidget of Gadget, Katie Lindendahl, is going to join us in studio in hour number 3. Every year, we all dress up in Halloween costumes and celebrate with her. She's at a totally different level of dressing up for Halloween. She has approximately 6 or 7 different Halloween costumes each and every year for all of her different events. Who knows whether this will be the 1st or the 7th Halloween costume of the week for her, but she's dropping on by in hour number 3, and at that point in time, we will all have our costumes on. Right now, generally speaking, the staff is dressed as they normally would. However, in 1 hour and 15 minutes, we will unveil all of our costumes here on the air. And so I encourage you to be watching on the simulcast at watchda.com. That's available for free on any device. Watch us at watchda.com for the unveiling of the costumes coming up here in about 1 hour and 15 minutes from now. Also coming up this morning on the show, noted columnist from ShagMag.com, Julia Rose, is going to join us.
She's a bad girl, David.
That name should sound familiar if you've been listening over the last 48 hours to the DA show. She is one of the women who was banned for life by Major League Baseball for flashing a television audience in Game 5 of the World Series. We'll talk to Julia Rose, noted journalist from ShagMag.com, coming up here on the show in about 35 minutes from now. She will be over the phone, everybody. Over the phone. Also, Super Bowl champion CBS Sports Network's Kevin Carter will join us in hour number 2. So we are really loaded, and we have a lot of different guests from a lot of different walks of life this morning. Also, Wednesdays are Champ and Chump. We'll do that coming up in about 15 minutes. Andy Dalton gets benched, and Anthony Davis carries the Lakers in historic fashion. All of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, you can dial us up at 855-212-4227. If you want to jump in on any of those topics, 855-212-4CBS. I'm currently dressed up for about 30% of my costume, maybe 20% of my costume. So if you want to take your guesses over Twitter of what I'm going to be, you see the start of what the costume might be. I'm going to try to get through the Kevin Carter interview without dressing like an idiot. And then once we are through the Carter interview, then I will transition into full costume mode. So you can check that out, watchda.com, and tweet at me, DA on CBS. But we have to begin with Game 6 of the World Series. Justin Verlander, you've been very good. You're a World Series champion. You're a Cy Young Award winner, and you'll be in Cooperstown one day. But Justin Verlander, you, my friend, are not Madison Bumgarner. Verlander enjoys playing to type. He is the alpha male. He's with Kate Upton. He's the big man on campus. Verlander, give me the ball. I'm the ace. I'll get us to where we need to go, which is a great reputation to have. And in the ALCS over the course of his career, he's been phenomenal. And he's a World Series champion a couple of years ago. And that Astros organization is better for him, better for having made that trade. He was the key clutch final piece in winning in 2017. But my friends, Justin Verlander does not have it the way that he once does, the way that he once did anymore. Or World Series, he's just not very good. Because last night, there was an alpha male. There was an elite starting pitcher on the mound in a crucial game in the World Series on a clinching night that was dazzling, that was historic, that was elite, that was untouchable. And he was wearing a Nationals uniform. Justin Verlander has had 4 games now in this postseason to define the series. 4 of them. And he's failed at all 4 of them. Okay? Game 4 against the Tampa Bay Rays with a chance to clinch that series gets bombed. Game 5 against the Yankees, a chance to clinch that series, gets roughed up at inning number 1, loses. Game 2 of this World Series, after Gerrit Cole had been beaten, making sure you're not down 0-2 going on the road, got bombed. And last night was out-dueled with a chance to clinch the World Series. Verlander's had a great career, but he has missed all of these chances this year to clinch. And he's going to be real sorry about that, having given up a monster home run to Juan Soto and another home run to Anthony Rendon and giving up the lead. He's going to be real sorry about that if Max Scherzer tonight goes out there and throws a gem. Verlander had a chance to close out the World Series at home last night with a lead and couldn't hold it. Unfortunately, the game last night will be defined not by Steven Strasburg's brilliance, not by Anthony Rendon's clutch hitting, not by Juan Soto's blast, not even by the fact that we have now a game number 7. Last night's game will not be even defined by a huge victory by the Nats. It'll be defined by the call that everybody hated. It is hard to rally consensus on Twitter. Really hard. In fact, it's downright impossible. And we had consensus last night. The Trey Turner play, where Turner hits a chopper down the third baseline. It is fielded by Brad Peacock, pitcher of the Astros. Turner is blazing down the first baseline. He's running essentially a straight line of the bag. Peacock throws it into the back of Turner, and Turner is called out. Interference. And ultimately, we must ask, what is Trey Turner supposed to do? He's a right-handed hitter. He runs a straight line to the bag. He runs directly over the bag. And essentially, Peacock and the Astros are rewarded for a mistake. As he's called out, the Astros are rewarded for an errant throw. It's like dodgeball. Hit the runner. Hit the runner, he's out. That's what that play is. So Trey Turner is hot, saying, what am I supposed to do? Dave Martinez is hot. He gets ejected. The Nationals can't believe it. We get a review. Oh, okay, at least there's going to be a review and they'll overturn this, because this is a crucial play in a one-run game. Trey Turner can't be out here. It's got to be at least runners on first and second, if not second and third because of the errant throw. He's called out anyway. And the umpires look like doofuses, and MLB looks terrible. They uphold that call. Ultimately, does not define the game from a scoreboard standpoint because the Nationals end up winning the game anyway. However, the damage had been done to the reputation of Major League Baseball if in the biggest stage and the biggest moment, this is the ruling or this is the rule, something's really broken. Should MLB be embarrassed this morning? Let's hear from Joe Torre trying to explain the matter. It's where we begin. Your cold open.
Joe, when you say they're trying to reach someone on the headset, who are they talking to?
They call replay.
So Chelsea is interpreting the rule?
No, they went and told, I basically, you know, it's a World Series. We want to double and triple check ourselves. And that's basically what, you know, they said that Davey wanted to protest. I made the call. It was a judgment call. They said to the umpires, it's a judgment call, and that you can't protest.
But who are they calling to get interpretation of that rule? Because we had a long delay there, and AJ
I know
Hinch
that it shouldn't have been that long. I don't know if it was the noise or whatever it was. I know we had a hard line in our box, and we had trouble reaching people because we tried to make some calls. We couldn't do it. It should never be that long. That's unfortunate, and certainly, you know, we have to take ownership of that.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Joe Torre didn't answer any question there. He just sounds like a doddering old guy, which, you know what baseball's seen as? A bunch of doddering old guys, which is such a shame because last night's game had it all. Last night's game was amazing. Absolutely amazing. You've got Alex Bregman and Juan Soto carrying their bats after majestic home runs all the way down to the first base coach. You had Steven Strasburg with a must-win situation, throwing the game of his life. You had it all. And yet it's going to be defined by this embarrassing moment. Let's unpack this for a moment here. Number one, the rule is dumb. Absolutely dumb. Because then the legal place to run for Trey Turner is on the outside of the fair line. So he's got to run on the outside of that line. And then the base is on the inside of the line, so Trey Turner is asked to run on the outside of the line before at the last moment cutting on the inside of the line. That's how he would be safe and not be interfered. Dumb. Number two, in this spirit of the rule, you are rewarding the mistake. Brad Peacock throws a ball into the back of Trey Turner. Turner speed rushes the throw. And you are rewarding the Astros. Dumb. You have kicked out the manager in a World Series game. No manager has been ejected from a World Series game since, actually, Bobby Cox in 96. You're talking about 23 years. You don't kick out the manager. Obviously, he's hot. Obviously, it's a ridiculous rule. You can't kick out the manager there. I mean, imagine the Nationals end up losing the World Series without their manager. You can't do that. And then, number four, it can't be reviewed, right? This is a judgment call. Can't be challenged, can't be reviewed. And yet, we're going to review it. Okay, so it's a judgment call. It can't be reviewed. We are reviewing it. Joe Torre's asked, who are they reviewing it with? And doesn't have an answer. And Joe, why is it taking so long? I don't know. This is the head of the umpiring? This is the head of the organization that runs the rules of baseball? As Trey Turner mic'd up in the dugout was saying, Joe Torre's avoiding this. He's hiding. He's got his head down during this. This cannot be how baseball handles this situation. Every part of this is a mess. And then, after what felt like the longest delay in baseball history. They come back and say, no, we were right. Well, what were you checking then? What was going to be the reversal? What were you double checking? Were you double checking the rule? Were you double checking the interpretation of the rule? Were you questioning whether the umpires had actually seen what they thought they saw? What's going on? Can anybody give us answers? I'm glad the Nationals won that game. And I'm glad that even in that inning, it worked. It worked out for them. But baseball, in what was supposed to be a grand, beautiful baseball World Series moment, of course, bleeps the bed. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I've got a champ and I've got a chump. And I know that you guys want to weigh in on last night's World Series game and that ridiculous call. So hit me up, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll get to my champ and chump next. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Steve Spurrier joins us. Coach, good morning.
And of course, the Stanley Colonists, Florida first, up in St. Augustine. They were actually pretty good people in the state of Florida way back in the 1500s, 1600s, and so forth.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Steve Spurrier, for all of your help educating the masses on the history of our fine union. 24 minutes past the hour, DA with you, and it's time to ask the pros, where you get to pick a question, any question. Send us your questions on Twitter, DA on CBS. Be listening later on to the show, and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. It's our annual spooktacular episode here on the DA Show. We will unveil our costumes coming up 1 hour from now. Also, in hour number three, the Gidget of Gadgets, the hero of Halloween. Katie Lindahl is going to join us here in studio, and we'll see what type of magic she has with her costume. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now, Julia Rose is going to join us. She was one of the women banned by Major League Baseball for flashing during game number 5. Whereas last night, baseball, game number 6, out of everything about the Trey Turner play, what was the most frustrating, aggravating to you as you were sitting and watching on the couch?
I think just that we see it all the time and it's not called. I'm totally fine with that being the rule, even though the rule stinks. But why in the World Series now are the umps flashing their muscle about knowing the rule book when how many times do you see a base runner go that way and it might be slightly interfered with and it's not called? If you watch baseball all year long, it happens all year and it's rarely called. But yet in that stage, game 6, whatever happened to letting the players play? It wasn't like it was egregious and he ran to the pitcher's mound and back around. I just think if you're going to call by the rules, be consistent all year and don't wait for the biggest moment to flex your muscle and show that you're an ump and inserting yourself.
I hated that part. I hated the delay because I don't know what they were eventually looking at.
Well, that's another part, too, because the delay just adds to what is ongoing that I'm totally on board with, which is just the length of these games is insane. And if you're going to have replay and delay, this has to be a sped-up process.
And if that is a judgment call,
right,
what are you reviewing? Your judgment of the call?
Right.
And you have...
they had no idea what they were reviewing.
Exactly.
They were trying to appease Dave Martinez.
And they were checking to a central location in Chelsea, New York, where the head of the MLB officiating crew has the challenge bureau. What are they checking? If it's a judgment call, it's up to the umps to make that judgment, and then they're calling for somebody else's judgment? What were they reviewing? They were talking to somebody for somebody else's judgment?
And the problem is when you're watching it, and Buck, and nobody has any idea what exactly is going on, so you have no information as you're laying there. And if you're laying there on the East Coast like I was, you know, basically head on a pillow watching this, it's so infuriating because it's like a gripping moment of the game. It's obviously the biggest moment of the game, and your eyes are basically half asleep because you have no idea what the heck is going on. So even a controversial moment becomes boring in baseball. Isn't that fascinating?
Broadcasters didn't know what was happening. Fans didn't know what was happening. And it felt like the umps didn't know what was happening.
Right. Nobody knew what was happening.
And that was the most aggravating part of it. Number 2 for me is kicking out Dave Martinez. He clearly has a good argument here. Everybody in baseball is like, oh, God, this is bad. And then you eject a guy in the World Series?
You have to, though, D.A.
Do you?
He acted like, look, I understand. We would all act like that, Wayne. There was no calming him down. So if he's not going to calm down and understand, so the only thing you can do is remove him from the game.
I don't think you can do that. I mean, that to me is double jeopardy then. You're screwing the Nats and then kicking out their manager.
But let's be honest. He could manage the game from a staircase. Nobody's going to know the difference at that point. I mean, you're telling me that...
That goes to extra innings, the 11th inning, the 12th inning, and then they don't have their manager
in
there?
But how are you going to calm him down? How can you calm him down? The only way to calm down is by getting him out of the game.
You just have to eat it and be like, look, you've got to do better in terms of trying to calm him down and get him to the clubhouse.
He couldn't be restrained. You have to kick him out of the game.
You can't kick him out there. Can't. Just can't. You can't double jeopardy the Nationals. You screwed them, and then you kicked out their manager
because
he was hot.
As hot as he is, isn't there something to a baseball locker room when your manager gets kicked out that you look at your manager as, thank you. Thank you for standing your ground against us.
Yes.
So, I mean, how do we know that if...
Maybe it worked
crazy,
for them.
Maybe it worked for them because they wake up, they explode in the inning, and if Dave Martinez is kept in that game, maybe there's a certain part of the national locker room going like, really? You couldn't even do enough to get kicked out there?
I don't think that anybody in the Nationals... clubhouse is like, dude, you got to do more for
us. That's how people view a manager getting kicked out.
I mean, he had a conniption. He had an aneurysm.
You had to get him out.
I disagree.
And it worked.
Let's get to your champ and your chump this morning.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
LeBron James did not look good for how he handled the China situation, did not look informed with how he handled the China situation, did not look like a leader in how he handled the China situation. But LeBron James is a champ today because he did a really good thing for first responders. LeBron wanted to send a courtesy to the firefighters and first responders who are battling the Getty Fire in Los Angeles. And so LeBron James paid for and sent a taco truck to support all the firefighters, first responders, and other people that are working to fight the fire. And pretty cool that you had people in uniform able to take a moment and have somebody thank them for what they're doing. That fire is insane. California's dealt with these fires before. The people that are battling that fire, the firefighters putting their lives on the line, the first responders out there as well, they're doing heroic work. Those are normal people doing heroic things, and I appreciate them being appreciated. So LeBron James, who was forced to evacuate his California home and is in the middle of this, even just a little thank you, sending a taco truck to them so that they can at least have a decent meal and be thanked, I thought was a cool thing.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump, the New York Jets. I mean, this organization is so utterly ridiculous. The Jets make the Mets look like a functional organization. The Jets make the Knicks look somewhat competent. The Jets yesterday decide, you know what? We'll field all offers. We're going to field all offers for everybody on the roster, and that includes our highest profile, highest paid, and leadership guys. So, yeah, Jamal Adams, let's see what we can get for him. Hey, he's like the heart and soul of the locker room. He's a captain. Let's see what we can get for him. Oh, you know what? Le'Veon Bell, let's see what we can get for him. Yeah, let's check it out. All that is going to do is make that entire situation more toxic. And I appreciate Le'Veon Bell after the day saying, hey, stick with us. You got to be patient. Doesn't happen overnight. But you know, man, for Adams and Le'Veon Bell, two Pro Bowl guys who need to be cornerstones if you're going to turn this thing around, you can't have them publicly shopped and then burnt and the entire locker room going, man, they're doing those guys dirty. Those are the guys the locker room follows. Those are not the problems on your roster. Your coach is your problem. Your offensive scheme is your problem. You're not even getting Bell any touches. You've signed him for all of this money. And Crazy Eyes Gaze has his fingerprints over this entire dysfunction. And the Jets don't know what's coming, don't know what's going, and just ticked off two of their most important players because they not only publicly shopped them, but they didn't pull the trigger, so they're both still on the Jets. So you've just got two disgruntled players with a disgruntled locker room in the middle of a lost season and a head coach that doesn't know what's going on. The Jets are the chumps.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
Coming up next on the show, she was banned from baseball. Essentially, the Pete Rose of our generation. Julia Rose, no relation, I don't think.
I mean, at least Pete Rose got his due process, DA. This woman was arrested, convicted, and sentenced within minutes.
That's right. That's right. Is that how we do process here in America?
No.
I thought innocent until proven guilty. Apparently not in baseball. Julia Rose flashed an audience of millions and suddenly, when everybody was happy about it, was punished. We'll talk to Julia about that coming up here next. One of the banned flashers, the shoeless Joe, the braless Joe Jackson of 2019. Is next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
Everyone gets fatter with age. Wouldn't you think you would just get better at it?
Wow, John, you're fatter and balder. You must be awesome at eating hot dogs.
In one area of your life, you should be improving in that area, right?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. GEICO.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. In Game 5 of the World Series, a few lovely ladies were banned for flashing, handed their immediate punishment from Major League Baseball. One of them, named Julia Rose, was a subject of a phone call we got yesterday here on the show.
I started seeing pictures of this Julia Rose, and I'm like, why do I know this name? And then I look at the picture, and I'm like, it was almost like that scared dad look, like, oh, no. Because I realized I knew her from her mom. I went to school with her mom, And I'm like, who is this? Oh, I'm like, oh, this is her daughter. Okay, because she would post pictures from time to time. And I felt really bad looking at some of these pictures because they were so, like, provocative.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, this is my friend's from high school. This is her daughter. I shouldn't be looking at this. So I kind of just, like I said, I would just keep scrolling.
All right, so that was a call that we got yesterday here on the show. Julia Rose joins us this morning on the show. Julia, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you feel guilty at all that you're making your mom's friends from high school a little uncomfortable with Facebook?
If this makes them uncomfortable, then they have a lot more coming for them in life.
Okay. So they have banned you from baseball for what you did. Let's start at the beginning. What happens if there was no game number 5? What happens if it was a sweep in 4? Would you have ever gotten to the World Series?
No, we wouldn't have. That was kind of the risk we had to take buying Game 5 tickets. We knew going into it that was part of it. But we knew that, you know, a sweep was, and we knew it could happen, but we also knew that the chances of it happening weren't very likely.
What made the World Series a target of yours to do this?
It was more so like knowing when it came to the World Series, we knew where cameras would be and knowing where the shots would be. Just that was kind of our decision making on it was based off that of where to get tickets, where the cameras exactly would be to go live and to try and do this.
But so better to do it at a baseball game where you could sit behind home plate versus like a basketball game or a football game where you might not know if you're going to be on television?
Yeah, exactly.
So how much scouting did you do for what seats you could buy? Because there is only a couple of seats that it would work where the cameras would catch you.
Yeah, so we did, we found 2 for Game 5. We were actually trying to go to Game 2 in Houston and didn't have a whole lot of luck getting tickets. and we were watching. So we bought our tickets. We were watching the games, and we were counting the seats, and we found where our seats would be, and it was barely on camera. We were honestly planning on doing it just from our seats, but when we got there, we actually got pulled aside by security, and they said they knew who we were, that we had to zip up our shirts that said Shag Mag on the front, and we were told that we needed to zip up our jackets because we weren't allowed to promote on camera behind home plate. So little did they know, you know, we weren't even going to use the shirts to begin with, but last minute we were like, you know, texting friends and family that were watching the game, and we're asking them if we were on camera. And it turns out they had shifted the cameras to where we were no longer even on camera. So last minute, we were like, the only thing that was a guarantee on camera was the stairs. And I was like, we're just going to have to book it for the stairs, and you're just going to have to keep going, walk, do it until someone tries to stop us.
So they said they knew who you were. Are there multiple sporting events or places that you'll go where people, like in security, will say, we know what you're up to?
It's more so, I feel like, once they saw the shirts on, I mean, obviously they do their research and they can see we're wearing Shag Mag shirts before the game starts. And, you know, it just takes a quick Google, Shag Mag comes up, then my page comes up right after it. And you can tell just by looking at my page. I mean, you heard my mom's high school friend kind of give you some input on the kind of content I put out. It's just kind of, you know, a little bit more on the riskier side.
Yeah,
I would
say.
I think them just looking at that in itself is probably like, okay, she's probably up to no good. Let's give her a chance, though. And they just told me to zip up my jacket, which I did.
Julia Rose joins us this morning on the show. So you get kicked out of the game. You and your friends get kicked out of the game. And you had tweeted out a picture of the memo that they gave you. When did they actually hand you that memo that you would be banned for life?
So we got escorted down, I like to call it like MLB jail, and we were detained for about 2 hours. And so within those 2 hours, they kind of explained to us the situation that we were banned from that stadium for 5 years, and then we were banned from MLB indefinitely, and they handed us a letter. We had to sign all our paperwork, and then they let us go.
So there was a jail inside the stadium. Was there anybody else in the jail?
I mean, it was just us three girls, a couple of security guards. We had, like, armed security around us. All really, honestly, nice people. We got a couple fist bumps low-key down there. And,
oh, good.
You know, we didn't even know if it was aired yet. We had no idea if we even made it to, you know, we had no footage of it. We had no idea if it even made it to TV or not. So we were actually down there, and a couple of them came up, and they're like, hey, y'all ended up, like, they ended up airing it. We were, like, pretty stoked, but then got the news we were banned for life. So
yeah, well, that's a bit of a downer. But I wonder, do you think that there's any way to actually enforce this? I mean, if you just went to a random ballpark on a random day and didn't wear a Shag Mag t-shirt and didn't flash anybody, could they really keep you out of the ballpark?
I mean, in like, probably if I try within, you know, the next couple, you know, the season's almost over, so next season, you know, maybe I'll be able to sneak into MLB game, but I guess no sitting, you know, behind home plate anytime soon.
Yeah, okay, so that's possible, but I mean, if you wore sunglasses, a hat, and I don't know, a turtleneck or something like that, and couldn't you? Yeah, I'm sure that's the biggest joke of the, you would never wear something like that. But I mean, if you just went to a random baseball game, they can't have your picture at every turnstile. I don't think they could really keep you banned. I think that's kind of impossible, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely plan on, you know, maybe attending a baseball game here and there, but just not, you know, going completely under skies, like you said, turtleneck all the way. Turtleneck, overalls,
yes.
100% covered,
yeah.
Hood up.
Then they can't know you. They can't know you. Are you worried at all when you do stunts like this about kids in your section?
Of course. I mean, it's always a thought in the back of my head of, you know, getting that kind of backlash. It's tough because you never want to step on anyone's toes. You never really want to upset anyone, but it comes with the territory of doing riskier things, is upsetting people. When it comes to kids, to me, it's always like a different conversation because I definitely feel, you know, once boys become teenagers, it's a different story. But I honestly feel like children themselves aren't the ones like sexualizing breasts. You know what I mean? It's more the parents that are then covering their eyes like, oh, you can't look at that. And then they're like, oh, what can I look at? And then they're wondering. But I feel like, you know, kids themselves, I don't feel like a kid looks at a woman's boobs and is like, thinks of it the same way as like, you know, a teenage boy or a grown man.
Hmm. So you wanted to promote and get attention for Shag Mag. And from what I've read, you're looking at this, you're promoting this as kind of a playboy for the next generation?
Yeah, we like to say, you know, Shag Mag is the millennial playboy for the millennial man. It's a digital magazine that I started about 8 months ago. It's definitely a pro for the nipple magazine. We feature new women each month, but we also feature men where we do interviews. We feature sex articles, sports articles. It's really great. It's a great platform.
So my question is, where does the breast cancer awareness part of this factor in? Because I know that you said you were hoping to raise awareness, but I can't figure out how X plus Y equals Z here.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, obviously, like I said, Shag Mag, without boobies, we wouldn't really exist. So we knew that October was breast cancer awareness. We wanted to be more hands-on rather than trying to donate just a chunk of money to charity to a certain organization. You never know where your money goes, you know, so we wanted to be more hands-on. We wanted to try and pull this PR stunt, and from all the new growth we got, all the new subscribers, donate a pretty big chunk of the proceeds and find women who needed help paying off medical bills when it came to breast cancer and paying those off for them.
So how are you going to do this? You're taking a percentage of the subscriber fees that have just recently signed up. You're taking a percentage of that and then donating it to what organization?
So it's not just an organization. We're trying to find women in our area, or maybe not even in our area. We have a couple different connections with people that are working in the medical field where we can find these women that have really big medical bills and aren't able to pay them themselves or making payments. And, you know, even women that have like maybe a GoFundMe and just paying it off for them completely rather than, you know, just giving a chunk of change to an organization. We want to find individual women that we can really meet, be hands-on with, and donate in person.
So honest question, I think that there's a lot of people that see this as a stunt for attention for you, and being an Instagram model, I'm sure you got a lot of followers out of this and a lot of likes,
yeah, of course,
and a lot of attention and a magazine that you're trying to promote, and then it gets tied into something that's really serious that a lot of families have dealt with, and they probably say, oh, that's just kind of a cloak, a cover for them getting their own attention. Have you felt any pushback from people that actually do, you know, a lifetime of work within breast cancer awareness?
I mean, we've definitely gotten pushback. It's been a really big question, you know, when it comes like self-promotion, and I've been really honest. It goes hand in hand. I'm not going to sit here and say it wasn't for self-promotion or wasn't promotion for the brand. But I think when it comes to self-promotion, it kind of goes hand in hand. You know, if I'm promoting myself, the bigger myself gets, the bigger Shag Mag gets, the more money we get, and the more money we're able to really donate and help and, like, get out there. So I definitely see where people are coming from. You know, people want to make sure, especially in this day and age, that people are doing what they're saying they're doing and following up. And, I mean, that was our whole purpose, was to raise this money. And whether it's, you know, promoting for ourselves and promoting for Shag Mag, we're able to do it either way.
Do you really dislike wearing shirts and bras?
It's not that I dislike wearing shirts or bras. It's more that I just dislike that people can look at you differently because of it. You know, you walk in, like you said, if I walked in with a turtleneck, I'd be looked at completely different than if I was topless, which, you know, that's just something I'd have to deal with. It's not that I don't like wearing shirts or bras. It's just kind of like, why can't I be the same person, whether, you know, if I'm in a suit, turtleneck, topless, bikini, whatever I choose to wear, you know, I'm still the same person.
I hear you. I'm just saying, seeing your social media channels, it seems like you really like not wearing shirts.
I do. I really like pissing people off.
Okay. Julia Rose joining us this morning here on the show from Shag Mag. She was the one that was one of the friends that were banned from Major League Baseball for life. I have a feeling we'll see you back at a ballpark at some point in time, but maybe in disguise. So I appreciate the time this morning, Julia. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Julia Rose joining us this morning on the show. Her mom has friends that listen to the show. So that's our connection here on the program. Relatively enlightening interview, I would think.
Yeah, sure. And as you could tell, the one interview I went out of my way to book in 2019.
Yeah.
So obviously she caught my attention.
It's pretty amazing because big sports stories happen consistently. I mean, really big breaking news. And we almost never, ever, ever have Mraz being ambitious enough to say, oh, this just happened. We got to get this person on. It almost never happens. It's a PR person that has set up an interview for weeks in advance. And it's almost always they're promoting some website or some sausage company or some salsa. And here's Mraz, the moment this happens, ambitiously trying to book the breaking news guest.
Tracked her down.
And you had it for Monday. I mean, this happened over the weekend. You had it for Monday. And I said, we can't have her on a football Monday.
The moment it went to commercial break, I said, she's coming on the show.
I mean, it is amazing. I mean, these are, that's where you are totally investing your energy and your attention. That breaking news.
Hey, look, we got to take it when we get it, right?
When we come back here on the show, Kevin Carter's going to join us, 14-year NFL veteran, a Super Bowl champion as well, and a member of the CBS Sports Network. We'll talk some college football with Kevin. And next hour, I'm going to unveil, as we all are around here, our Halloween costumes for our day, because Katie Lindahl's 1 hour away. So stick around to be watching at WatchDA.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.